always here to inform you. Dakota Country, KOKK in Huron.
With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports, KOKK. High school football last night had a pair of games on the air. Huron Tigers were on the road down to a T, homecoming for the T area Titans. T ranked number 2, Huron ranked number 5 in the latest media poll. The Tiger defense came to play. Huron held T area to 77 total yards of offense and shuts out the Titans 16-0. Big night for Landon Hulse, 19 carries, 135 yards, 2 touchdowns from 6 and 1 yard out. Mr. Min added a 32-yard field goal for Huron. Huron now 2-1. They travel out to Sturgis, who's currently ranked number 3, next week. Here on KOKK, Miller Highmore Herald held their homecoming, hosting Chamberlain. Chamberlain pulled away from an 8-8 halftime tie to win 22-8. For Chamberlain, Austin Rose, 8 carries, 131 yards, 2 touchdowns rushing, 5 and 80 yards. He also caught a 10-yard touchdown pass. For the Rustlers, Isaac Hunter hauled in a 38-yard touchdown pass from Derek Brueggemann. The Rustlers now 1-3 on the season. Woonsocket at Wessington Springs, Sanborn Central shut out Webster last night 53-0. Luke Larson, 10 of 13 passing, 225 yards, 3 touchdowns, 44 yards rushing and 1 touchdown. Nathan Gajkowski had 4 catches for 80 yards, 2 touchdowns. Grant Edwards had a 40-yard touchdown pass. Wesley Moeller had 11 carries for 115 yards and 2 touchdowns for the Bucks. Burke defeated Sunshine Bible 41-16. Elkton Lake Benton rolled over DeSmit 65-20. Sully Buttes 52, Hitchcock Tulare 12. Stanley County defeated Redfield 42-6. 11 AA scores last night. Brookings edged Aberdeen 14-10. Bobcat scored with 14 seconds left for the win. Top-ranked Yankton blasted Douglas 63-6. Pier bounced back from their loss last week and took care of Watertown 41-19. And Spearfish and Mitchell, it was Mitchell at Spearfish. Lightning delay, 3.5 hours. Game did not start till about 10:30 p.m. last night, Central Time. Finished up about 12:45 this morning. Spearfish wins it 42-16. Couple of AAA scores, Lincoln 55, Roosevelt 7, Jefferson 41, Washington 14. Boys golf, Huron Tigers were at the Yankton Invitational yesterday. Medalist was Jaden Attenon of O'Gorman with a 67. O'Gorman won the team title, 299. Runner-up Harrisburg was at 305. For Huron, Emmerich Dedine had a 96. Corbin Fuchs, Caleb Rashad both had 111. Riker Shelton had a 117. A couple of volleyball scores to report from last night. Aberdeen defeated Spearfish in 5, 26-24, 19-25, 25-13, 14-25, 15-12. Pier defeated Sturgis in 4, 25-23, 25-22, 15-25, 25-23. Schedule for today, volleyball, Huron Tigers at home at the arena hosting the Harrisburg Tigers. Harrisburg top-ranked in AA. We'll shoot for a 2:30 start, 2:10 with the pregame this afternoon on Tiger. Other area volleyball, Highmore Herald's playing at a Phillip tournament. DeSmit, Hitchcock Tulare, Iroquois Lake Preston are at the Clark Willow Lake tournament. Sanborn Central, Woonsocket, Sunshine Bible, Woolsey, Wessington are at the Warbird Invitational in Woolsey, and Gettysburg is at Miller. Here on Tiger Girls Tennis at home, they're hosting Brookings and Watertown, getting a double duel in. Pier will be playing a couple of matches as well, but not playing Huron. A few other notes to pass along. Huron Tiger Junior Tennis Clinic is tomorrow, second session, open for girls and boys, grade 2nd through 5th grade. Will be at the Huron High School tennis courts. 2nd and 3rd graders clinic runs 3 till 4. You can register beginning at 2:30, 4th and 5th graders clinic, 4 till 5 o'clock, and registration begins at 3:30 for that. Cost is $10 for the session. The clinic focuses on tennis basic skills, footwork, and they'll play a few games as well, and everyone is welcome. Coming up in 2 weeks, well, it's the cap-off of homecoming for the Huron Tigers as the 2025 Hall of Fame induction will take place at the arena beginning at 5 o'clock. That's on September 27th. Two athletes going in, Vicky Coyle and Neil Campbell, going in as contributors, late 60s, early 70s, girls track participants. Those women paved the way for the first sanctioned girls sport at Huron High School. Being inducted as a team, the 1993 AA State Boys Basketball Champions. Again, starts at 5 o'clock, and that will be 2 weeks from this evening on September 27th. Minnesota Twins opened their final homestand of the season. They had the Arizona Diamondbacks in for interleague play. Twins had a four-run lead, blew it in the ninth, but then came back for the walk-off win. Included a record-setting monster night for Cody Clemens as well. With the recap, here's Chris Atterbury.
Well, it was a cloud-covered night at Target Field. Friday night, as a crowd of better than 18,000 gathered to watch the Twins take on an Arizona Diamondbacks club that was fighting for their postseason lives with little margin for error. The Diamondbacks nabbed an unearned run early against Pablo Lopez, but in the third inning, the Twins tied it. Cody Clemens fell behind 0-2, worked it back to a full count, fouled off a pitch, then blasted his 17th home run of the year to snap an 0-for-11 skid, and it was a 1-1 ball game. It was 2-1 in the fourth after a Brooks Lee sack fly, and then wouldn't you know it, Clemens' first career multi-homer game hits a 2-run shot, and the Twins led it 4-1. Gave a run back in the fifth, but took that run right back on an RBI ground out by Luke Keyshaw to score Austin Martin. Then the Twins added another run in the sixth inning. Cody Clemens, an RBI double. What a night for Cody Clemens. And the Twins were rolling. Two-run homer, though, for Geraldo Perdomo off of Michael Tonkin in the seventh. It was a 6-4 Twins lead. Travis Adams shut him down in the eighth. And in the ninth, things went south for Cole Sands. Cole Sands gave up a leadoff double. There was a fielder's choice. There was an RBI single by Corbin Carroll. And then the backbreaker, a three-run homer for Gabriel Moreno. And the Twins suddenly went from leading 6-4 to trailing 8-6. But guess who led off the home night? It was none other than Cody Clemens, who fouled off three two-strike pitches before doing this. This pitch is lashed in the air, left center field and deep. Alex Thomas chasing it. That ball is gone. It's a three-homer night for Cody Clemens, and the Twins are very much alive. What an at-bat for Cody Clemens. How about that? A three-homer game for Clemens. He also had a double. He ended up driving in six runs in the ball game, and he matched Kirby Puckett's franchise record for 14 total bases in a game. But here's the thing. We wouldn't care about that if the Twins didn't complete the comeback, and oh, did they complete the comeback. Eddie Julian with a pinch-hit single. Ryan Fitzgerald ran for him. Buxton hit by a pitch. Austin Martin works a walk. Base is loaded. Trevor Larnach to face the left-handed reliever. He walks on a full-count pitch. That ties the game. Luke Keyshaw, sack fly, scores Buxton. There's a party at home plate. 10th walk-off of the year for the Twins, and the Twins win at 9-8 on your home for Twins baseball.
Twins in Arizona, game two of the series coming up this evening on KOKK. Joe Ryan gets the start for Minnesota, pregame to begin at 5:30 here on KOKK. Coming up this morning on Dakota Sports Saturday, pretty full show. We will hear from Josh Lean, head coach here on Tiger Volleyball. They get sent to host top-ranked Harrisburg today. We'll talk to the new head girls tennis coach of the Huron Tigers, Chris Lavallee. The Tiger girls hosting a couple of duels today at the tennis complex. And we'll hear from Drew Strand, head football coach, on the big win last night for the Huron Tigers. That's your Dakota Sports Saturday show coming up at about 10 minutes after 8 o'clock this morning. With the Saturday Morning Scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Good morning. Welcome back to Dakota Sports Saturday. We visit with Josh Lean, head coach here on Tiger Volleyball. Tigers at 2-5. They host the other ESD Tigers team today, top-ranked Harrisburg, coming to the Huron Arena. We'll talk about that coming up. Tigers lost 2 here over the last week. Huron Tigers. Last Saturday, it was a 4-set loss up in Aberdeen, and then Tuesday at the arena, another 4-set loss. And that was to number 4 ranked Watertown. And talked to Coach Lean Tuesday in the post game after the Watertown loss. And when you look at the Watertown loss, you lose in 4, had all kinds of chances to get the thing to 5 sets, had a big lead in the 4 set, only to see Watertown rally to win that final set at 27-25. And Coach, I guess that's the first thing. You just got to say what went wrong. You know, almost like, I don't say complacent is probably the right word, but we just maybe tried to be a little too perfect or something. And overall, girls just, had Watertown where we needed to. We just needed to step on it and finish it.
We're up by 8, right? We're up by 8 at one point, feeling really good. Watertown exhausts their timeouts. And then in the middle of that being up by 8, we've got to exhaust ours to try to get some side outs, and we just can't do it. We have all the right kids on the floor. We have our best chance to score on the floor, and we're just not finding ways to terminate the ball. Some of it is, set decisions based on matchups on the other side. Some of it is just the kids aren't in the right headspace at the right time, and we just got to be aggressive in those moments and go score points, and we just didn't do that. In that moment, felt like we had a chance to get to set 5, and then anything can happen, and we just wasted our chances to get there for sure.
Yeah, I just felt, it was almost like we were offensively, we wanted to make sure we didn't make mistakes. So in other words, we weren't attacking. We're just making sure the ball got across. You got to make the other team work for it and give Watertown credit. They've been there before. Until we tell them to go play a 5th set, they're going to keep playing, and they just kept coming right at us, and a lot of different girls contributed.
Well, and at the end of set 4, they even put 2 JV outside hitters in to go ahead and take some of the pressure off their varsity kids who had already jumped 200 times, well, 125 times. I probably could have done something similar, but, for them it's easy because at the end of the day, when you're in that set 4 situation, they're up 2 sets to 1. The only thing that hurts them in losing set 4 is getting 15 more points to try to win set 5. For us, we've got to win set 4. We're going home early, which is what happened. So I don't necessarily in that situation have a luxury of going ahead and trying to give 2 JV outside hitters who both have sat for 2 hours and 20 minutes at that point to try to get some swings. And quite frankly, our outside hitters, for the most part, as the game went on, we've got to keep working hard. We had more errors than we had points in the 3rd and 4th set between our outside hitters, but the reality is they were our kids that were scoring. Now, our middles and opposites were keeping Watertown's defense honest and forcing them to transition and not forget about everybody else. But our outsides were the ones that came strong and was terminating. So we've just really got to work on not, and you and I talked about this before we went live, but we've got to not just run the offense for the purpose of getting the ball to the other side. Our big kids, our middles, and our opposites, we got to run the offense to terminate. And so we got to find those hands in the block, and we got to tool blockers. We got to go ahead, which is essentially hitting the ball in an appropriate spot on the blocker's hand so that the ball then travels out of bounds, right? So we were going to tool their block in order to score points, and we could not find that block with our opposites and middles late in the game.
And and you're still working on rotations. We talked about that after Aberdeen as well, but I did notice while we did hang with the 6-2 against Watertown, you did make a couple of switches there where you switched the hitter and the setter there. What was the thinking behind that?
Well, so Well, the small things that you notice, you're getting pretty smart in seeing those things. You've been doing this a long time.
I'm not smart.
The keen eye from the crowd will see that we actually started our middle blockers opposite each other, which in most cases nobody really cares, but it gave us Chloe, who we expect a better block from, against their more dynamic outside hitter. And so the reality is that's what we were looking for. Then as the game went on, I looked at Coach Ulmer and my staff, and we kind of automatically had a similar thought. We got to switch the opposites, too, to get the same benefit to the blocker, the blocking matchup. And so everything we tried to do was really defensively, and our kids are flexible. You know, they've been playing for a long time trying to with each other, so they've hit off of both setters. We're okay with that. We still got to continue to get a little bit consistent, but it was all about what was happening at the net and who was blocking who, and we felt like it was in our favor, and it obviously was. But the downfall of that is when you get to the rotation where it's not in your favor anymore, right? Because eventually you're going to rotate out of that. That's where we got stuck when we were up by 8 and we just couldn't dig out. And that wasn't any one kid's fault. We just needed a kid to get up and terminate the ball and score a point for us so that everybody could rotate. And we really, they outserved us in that moment. They outblocked us in that moment. And we just ran around a little bit discombobulated and weren't able to get an in-system ball so that we could terminate.
Well, I thought senior Allie Davis was the one girl that was really aggressive, was really attacking all the way to the end whenever the offense was set up to her. Yeah, she had her share of errors, but she also had 14 kills. Just need to have more girls, I feel, to maybe have a little more of that mentality.
Yeah, and, you know, Allie's going to score a lot of points early, and she's a strong kid. You and I have talked about that before, and she's got to work so hard to get her points that sometimes we end up wearing her out early. And I'll tell you that she was very productive early, and it did slow down a little bit. But the reason that it slowed down is because in the huddles, you know, we started talking about hitting fast sets, trying to keep their defense off. And, of course, our middles, you know, I know it drives the crowd crazy, but we're placing it. We're trying to find those holes in the floor. We're making them play defense. And if our bigs can get their defense to scoot closer to the net because we're throwing balls into the campfire, then that only opens up the deep corners for our outside hitters. Now, everything's got to work for that to work, right? Like, it's got to be a sequence of events. And I felt like we were really doing a good job getting their defense sucked up, and then the fatigue set in. I hate to use that as an excuse, but you can see it on their faces. We've just got to kind of grit our teeth in those moments and continue to hit those deep barrels. And if we do that, the scoreboard could end up the other way, and we could be finishing up a fifth set. Now, who knows if I get the matchup I want in set 5, but we'll never know at this point because we didn't get a chance to play that gamble between Rose and I in our two offenses.
Now we look ahead, a couple of days off, and then, like I think I said, after Aberdeen 2, the schedule gives us a break now, just top-ranked Harrisburg coming in, college athletes that don't even get in their rotation, so a tough challenge, but hey, they're coming here. We got it. You know, let's go toe-to-toe.
Well, and at the end of the day, we have played competitively against everybody. Our record is not indicative of our talent level, and I feel that honestly. Now, did I get after him in the locker room for a few things? I think every good coach probably does. But at the end of the day, I think our showings have been competitive. We've gone blow to blow. Now, Harrisburg is capable of changing that. They are, I don't know, 20th ranked in the nation right now. Not that that's a good excuse. In the Huron Arena, we're going to try to get our hands up. It's going to give a good test to our blockers to read hitters, know where the ball is going to go, and get our hands to the top of the net early. Doesn't mean we're necessarily going to be able to do anything about it some days, because I think they can probably out-jump us significantly. But we're going to give them a heck of a push. Listen, we're going to do the same thing we do about everybody, and we're going to put Hilton right in the line of fire because she's capable. She's got a good platform defensively. She's got good hustle. And we're going to make sure we're ready to play those guys defensively, and then if our hitters can have some guts when they get in the air, we're going to swing hard and we're going to try to push them, and that may end up being blocked sometimes. But you know, Allie and Addie, they all played pretty strong. Benarian had some good hits, and I thought Kyla played a better day than she did on Saturday, and so we're just going to go ahead and keep swinging away, and if it's enough, it's enough. If it's not, we're going to come back on Monday and continue to get better.
Josh Lead, head coach here on Tiger Volleyball. Tigers now at 2-5, back at home today. Afternoon match with top-ranked Harrisburg. Division I athletes across the net is what the girls will be looking at today. Schedule again, you just got to got to pay attention to things now. Last week in Aberdeen, lower level started at noon with the varsity tab to start at 2. Well, we're a half hour later today. The JV will start at 12:30 at the arena with the sophomores scheduled to start at 1:30 and then the varsity at 2:30. So we'll be on the air at about 2:10 this afternoon on Tiger for Volleyball Harrisburg at Huron. We'll be back on Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
We're back here on Dakota Sports Saturday, and we talk here on Tiger Girls Tennis. They have a brand new coach this year in Chris Lavallee. You're on high school graduate, but has traveled around some. We'll get to that first here. Before we talk girls tennis, Chris, just tell us about your background. You have probably more of a soccer background than a tennis background, but you've played a lot of tennis in your life, and sounds like you moved around a lot, too.
That's right. I've moved around across the country, spent a lot of time on the eastern seaboard area there, and played a lot of soccer growing up. It's really big in Pennsylvania. But I also just joined my mom to private lessons, and so I kind of got a little burned out in soccer early on, but tennis, I always found that to be a very fun, relaxing, almost meditative sport. And my mom would just constantly beat me on the tennis court. So I learned in the best way possible, if you ask me.
You know, and interesting there, where really you didn't play a lot of competitive tennis, but yet you took private lessons and played a lot.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing, that the competitive part was never really there, except, you know, I would get upset when I couldn't return my mom's serves or something like that. But other than that, I had so much fun playing and just learning intuitive tennis rather than kind of that textbook, this is how you serve, this is how you, it was all just trial and error. So that was a really fun way to learn for me. And it's been really fun to bring that competitive mindset, though, from other sports to tennis, and also combine that sort of the textbook version technique. Just been doing a lot of research. I've been really having a good time learning about tennis from the inside out.
And you did say you're a graduate of Huron High School, class of 99, then left for a while. But you've been back here for what sounds like, the last 8 years, and you're at our home now, right?
That's correct. Yeah, I was at the high school for 3 years and then the middle school for 4. And now this is my first year at our home. And the district is just a great place to teach. I've learned so much. Colleagues are, the best part of my job. Well, next to the kids, of course, but.
Well, let's talk about the kids. Talk about girls tennis in general. Tell us numbers, and I think just like the boys in the spring, there are no numbers issues with Huron Tiger girls tennis.
Certainly not. We have a great turnout. I think probably 54 up, maybe a couple lately. We had a few late add-ons, and they were all sixth graders. I think we have 10 sixth graders, which is a really good base. So this is a bit of, we're kind of at a rebuilding year right now, and we have one varsity girl back from last year. So from the top down, we are really enjoying kind of re-establishing a tennis team. It might take a while to process, and I tell them that all the time, but we're having fun with it. That's what matters, is we're having fun.
And you kind of took away my next question, but basically, while you do have big numbers, you don't have big experience back.
Correct, yes. So, and the experience we do have, you know, it's a lot of, it's also that intuitive tennis that they've been playing, you know, the JV and the, you know, just kind of getting out there. And these girls are here to have fun with their friends. And so to add that competitive side, it's kind of new to all of them, like I said, except for one. And so it's been interesting. The matches, I think they've been fun, but they've been trying for a lot of our girls that, you know, we're not used to that competitive side of things. So
I'll just kind of go down the lineup here. We'll start with Idella Meyer because she is the one varsity player back, and because of that, she had to go from sixth flight last year to first flight this year, and I assume a third flight doubles to first flight doubles.
Correct, yes. And then Chaley Saw is her doubles partner, and they started the year playing. The chemistry, you know, they've been working on that just in terms of how they're going to approach, you know, I mean, that's a big responsibility, that first flight, and as kind of leaders of the team. And so, you know, we've been really kind of helping support that, and those two together, they just have a great relationship now that they've been building on, and they're kind of both, you know, kind of our quiet, reserved leaders, but they sure know how to have fun. So it's been really fun working with them.
And Chaley, you talk about her too. She's new to the tennis program. Very good wrestler, played some volleyball last year, but boy, just shows how athletic she is. She can step in and just take over number two.
It's pretty incredible. She is new to the program. But she's kind of, we call them our Ice and Maverick, for any Top Gun nerds in there, because she's our athlete, our Maverick, Chaley. She plays throughout the year with boys, and so she plays a slightly different style, and so we've almost had to work on slowing some of her strokes down a little bit. Not because of the speed of play, but just so that the technique comes with her supreme athletic ability.
And go down the rest of the lineup here. Said it's all newbies to the varsity games.
Yeah, Ellie Puterball, also an incredible athlete. She kind of scores off the charts on all our pre-assessment athletic drills, like, you know, when we do sprints or shuttle drills, things like that. She gets the best time, the furthest throws. She's a gymnast. She does, you know, dance, all these different activities. She's super involved. She's our captain.
One thing with Ellie, too, is, she's a senior and kind of had to wait her turn to get to the varsity.
Yeah, correct. Because I think she started her sophomore year, which when I talked to Roger, her brother, since he's a tennis guy, that's why I'm citing him. He would know. He says that that's pretty late to start. It's very hard to learn any sport at that point. So, she's been great.
Then I think number four has been Taylor Sorbin, and she's just a very good athlete too, a very good golfer, and a very good hockey player as well.
Oh yeah, I mean, number one, golf, hockey. She is an outstanding athlete. I'm sure she could probably pitch a 70 mile an hour fastball right now, and be fine on the diamond too. But no, she's a freshman, so you know, she's got 4 years ahead of her, and I think she's just got that competitive attitude. She doesn't go into any match where she thinks she's gonna lose, and we need that on the team. She's our steel nerve. Yeah, she's great.
Then five and six, run down those girls.
Yeah, we have Brooke, who is kind of our tennis. Also, she spends a lot of her time on the tennis courts, plays with family. We just have to watch her tennis elbow, which is that overuse injury, because she's also a really great athlete. She's kind of comes from that world of, you know, she's very involved in music and orchestra, and she's kind of I mean, she's an outstanding mathlete, if I could say that. And so Brooke Hunter is a great four because she's also a very quick learn. So she wants a skill to be broken down into its component parts. And as soon as we do that, light bulbs, and we see immediate, you know, practice, transformation. She works on shadow strokes, which is like strokes without the ball, during practice, during the game. So she's always in learning mode, and then she knows right when to switch gears into game mode.
And those Blue She is number six, and then she teams up with Brooke on the third flight doubles.
Yeah, and Blue is she is our spirit. she is happy to be here. She's great. She comes with just a really good attitude, and some incredible technique. So she can get when she gets her serves in about, I would say, 70-80% of the time, which is a very high percentage. They're also very fast, and her ground strokes are very powerful. We're working on some footwork with her, and I think once, you know, we build a little bit of foundational skills into her game, she's got just nowhere to go but up.
Again, we're talking with Chris Lavallee, head girls tennis coach for the Huron Tigers. Tigers currently in a nine-day break. We'll get to that coming up. First off, one other name we do want to mention, Say Clay, massive. She would have been at number one, probably number one, but a massive knee injury, and right now the hopes are she's back on the court in 2026.
Yes, that's correct. We call her our sergeant major. She's our student manager, and she does a really good job of staying her head in it and being a leader on the team, even though she's not playing. I mean, you can see it when she walks. She's still got quite a limp, and I know from my own experience, it's just it's a process. It's a long road, and the medicine you have to take is doing nothing, and it's the worst medicine an athlete can get.
So let's look ahead now. Pair of duels here on a Saturday, and then you're just kind of looking towards the end of the season. ESD coming up, state coming up. You know, tennis is kind of a compact season.
Yeah. 29th, 30th, we have that ESD in Yankton, so it's coming to the XYZ in terms of, so we have to go all the way south for that. So there it is. It's a quick, compact, busy season. And, you know, I thought I was used to that from soccer, but this is, I would say this is actually a little bit more busy just in terms of those scheduling and intangibles that you do as coaches. So I am super grateful to have such a great team of coaches. I do not really think of myself as a head coach so much. I think of myself as a co-captain with my right hand and my left hand. We have Mackenzie Lavallee, who's the high school art teacher. And he is working at the middle school, getting a degree also through the campus Huron Community Campus. And then we have, of course, Coach Rachel Carey, who's still really everything for the program. I don't think any of us could really be doing this without her at this point. Still very much in transition. I have to spend a good amount of time observing right now still, so that I know, okay, this is what not to do still, and then this is, you know, so it can still be a seamless transition for the girls too.
And we'll just wrap it up with this now, just a couple of weeks here, and you know, you're in the postseason with all the inexperience. All you were looking for was improvement, obviously, and I think it sounds like you're happy with it, and there's still, you know, girls still have another few weeks to improve here, and then, you know, best part is most of these girls will be back next year.
Yeah, these girls are all, they all have the right attitude. They're all learning machines. They just let that competitive nature come out through the fun of the sport. And if we're not having fun, then, you know, I don't think we're doing the right by these girls. So I think that, for me, that's the marker of success. Are they still having fun? Because you kind of have to be competitive, too, to have fun. You have to challenge yourself. It can't be easy. So I think in that respect, we're having a very successful year. We're having a lot of fun out here.
Chris Lavallee, new head coach here on Tiger Girls Tennis. Tigers hosting a double duel today, basically. Four schools, including Huron, Peer, Watertown, and Aberdeen. Huron will have duels with Watertown and Aberdeen today. We'll be back on Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
Your headquarters for sports is Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Good morning. We wrap up Dakota Sports Saturday talking here on Tiger Football with head coach Drew Strand. The Tigers, a exciting win last night. First road trip of the season, headed down to T. Homecoming for the T area Titans, but the Tigers prevailed, pitching the shutout 16-0. Two games now, just giving up one touchdown between Pier and T area. And coach, just the overview first up, you go in, you know, you had the nice win over Pier, but where are we really at? I think we answered some questions last night.
Yep, I mean, we kind of went into this week, and I kind of told the kids, like, everybody was watching our T Huron game, you know. We go into the Pier game, we upset them, and then everyone's kind of like, oh, did Pier mess up? Did this happen? But then, you know, going into this week, we knew we still had something to prove, and that's kind of been our mentality the first 3 weeks. You know, our guys did a fantastic job just going into this game as a fresh new game and a fresh new challenge for us and, you know, put themselves in position to, you know, come away with a win on our first road game this season.
You know, and defensively, that's where we need to start because 77 total yards for the game, and the defense issued the statement right off the bat, our first possession. Basically, one of their defensive ends just steals the ball from Anderson Porish. So, fumble, they get the ball, I think, around our own 30, but really they couldn't move the ball as well, and that ended up being the story of the night.
Yep, I mean, our defense did a phenomenal job last night. Everybody working together and making plays right out of the gate. You know, I thought guys came ready to hit, and, you know, our guys have some explosiveness on defense, and they're not afraid of collision anymore. And, you know, that's a big thing to have where guys are starting to fly around, and they understand the defense that we've been trying to run here now for 3-4 years now, and they're all coming together, and it's all starting to click. And, you know, last night just really proved that because there's not a lot of teams in AA that are going to go down and hold T, you know, to 0 points, let alone under 100 yards for offense, just because, you know, they're a powerhouse team, and they're going to smash the ball down your throat. And, you know, it was a good thing that our defense, you know, they just kept showing up every play and kept committed to their team and brought the attitude and effort.
You know, and really it came down to, you know, it's an old saying, but it really rings true. When you're playing defense, what you want to do is take away what the other team wants to do. T wanted to run the ball, and once we pretty much took that away, they struggled in their passing game, and, you know, it all worked together.
Yep, I mean, we knew going into the game, you know, T likes to run the ball. So if we can stop that and have answers on ways to help our guys out, then it'll get them into situations where they're uncomfortable. You know, a lot of teams, they get into what they like to do, and if you can find a way and have answers for that, it usually turns out to your benefit. And then just stop their explosive plays. And I thought on defense, you know, we didn't give up any explosive plays. I know they had a couple chances, but went our way again. And then defensively, just being able to have answers. You know, offense same way, and that's kind of been our mentality within the coaching staff this season, is being able to give the guys that we have answers in any situation possible to help out our guys have success.
And offensively, you know, we were efficient, I guess might be the best word. When we put together a drive, we usually got something out of it. When we didn't, well, we punted, and we got a pretty good weapon there punting as well. And, you know, a big play by Landon Hulse late in the first half eventually led to our touchdown scored by Landon. And, you know, give the offensive line credit, too. I think there was two sacks on Anderson last night. They were both pretty close to the line of scrimmage. And, you know, that offensive line's been together now for a second year, and there's been a big leap from last year.
Yep. I mean, you know, our O-line and those guys on offense, I think it's starting to click for them. You know, each week I think they improve, they get better. They've been putting together more and more drives. Each week we just got to continue as a coaching staff to help them, just like we've been preaching about finding answers for them when things don't work out. We went into T, you know, they had two stud DNs up there, and we had to have answers on how we were going to stop them, and it was just kind of putting a guy in their face, whether it's our wing pulling or our guard pulling or a guy just getting in their face. Their DNs are fast, and if you let them run free, they'll get you down from the backside or the front side, and they'll just go. So we did a good job at that, and we just got to find ways to stay in that grind. There was run plays, I thought, in the second half where, you know, it's kind of that grind mode where it's an absolute blood battle in there, and we just got to continue to stick with that and not bail on a pass thinking that we need to throw the ball downfield. But, you know, that's kind of on the coaching staff of not giving the right answers to the kids, and we just have to continue to get better. But overall, offensively, I've seen improvement each week, and I'm really impressed with what these guys can, you know, continue to grow as and be by the end of the season here and even hopefully into this next week.
You know, and also offensively, limit the mistakes. Did a great job of that, too. Once again, we dropped our penalties. I don't have that in front of me, but I think it was just two or three penalties last night. And, well, not all of them on offense either. I had just, I believe, the one turnover as well. And, you know, while we weren't moving the ball necessarily every series, we also weren't giving it back either.
Yep, I mean, that's one of our three things that we do key on each week is just turnovers. You know, it's hard to win a game when you have more turnovers than the other team, so we've done a fantastic job of doing things like that and just playing assignment sound on either side of the ball. Offensively, they've done a fantastic job of kind of, you know, our receivers not jumping early or guys going to the right spots and things like that. So they've done a fantastic job of cleaning it up so then they can be in position, being able to have our punter and kicker to put points on the board and flip the field has been an amazing thing for us to have as weapons too, just being able to flip the field and make a team drive all the way down the field.
And offensively, Landon Hulse, just the big night, 135 yards, rushing two touchdowns. A lot of that did come on the, I believe it was a 73-yard run, but still over 100 yards with the two touchdowns. And when Landon does that, that means the O-line's doing their job. Everybody, wide receivers, everybody who's pitching a block in there is doing their job.
Yep, I mean, it's good for him. He's been kind of waiting to have an explosive game, and that was kind of it right there in that explosive play that he had. You know, props to everybody on that play, you know, for doing your assignment and trusting the guy next to you to be able to do that so that way we can have that success, which feels like individual, but really in the end it's a whole team effort and a whole team reward for that run play. You know, it makes it easier for those guys. You know, they get a run 70 yards down the field to catch them to celebrate, so it's fun to see those things happen. And just got to continue to grow. You know, those short run plays that we have, set up those big run plays for them and to break through eventually, and just got to continue to be able to grind those and have that happen.
Defensively, it was just so even on the stats. You know, Oakley Anderson's our leading tackler. He only had eight, but a couple things going to that. One, we had a 8-minute time of possession advantage, so there weren't as many opportunities for tackles. But on the other hand, other guys were pitching in too. Ty Kleinsauser, I thought, had his best game of the season. You have guys like Mason Juergens. Doesn't hardly ever come off the field. James Schultz Jr. or Riley Winiger, another one. You know, the guys like that don't come off the field a lot, but, you know, they're contributing every way they can.
Yep. I mean, those three guys that play safety, corner, roll down into linebacker, even with Mason, and then they go on offense and play wide receiver. So that's something that we got to kind of continue to work on, but those guys are out there for all the snaps, you know, playing 100 snaps a game. So, you know, I thought defensively last night it was a lot of guys contributing. Start of the game, you know, you kind of saw Landon right away and making a lot of plays, getting some stops for us, and then the D-line trickles in, and then all of a sudden here comes a different linebacker. You know, later on in the game, I thought Ty, you know, really stepped up and showed up when the moments mattered. But, you know, Oakley's always there, so it's hard to, you know, you can't leave him out. But that whole defense as a group, you know, they're just really meshing and really fitting together. And, you know, they're coming to the sideline when they do something and they're seeing what they see, and they're coming to us and being able to explain what they're seeing so we can help them out and give them answers to have success. And it's really nice to see in that game a lot of different guys kind of step up at moments and kind of get their own moment throughout the game to have that special for them.
You know, rotate a few other guys in too, especially in line. A couple of younger guys, Noah Owen, Caden Adams, got some time on defense. In fact, Noah starting. Part of that is due to Charlie Martin, another guy that doesn't usually get off the field, but he's getting himself banged up. He's an undersigned center, but he's still the core of that offensive line, I feel. And you're trying to limit him a little bit more on defense. He was still out there some of the time, but it's good to know you got some younger kids that are ready to plug in there.
Yep. I mean, I think if he could, he wouldn't leave the field. He'd be out there for special teams, offense, defense, and that's the kind of guy Charlie Martin is. You know, this is only his second year playing line ever.
He was a fullback at this time 2 years ago.
Yep. And so I talked to him last year about moving to offensive line for us to help us at center. Really didn't have a center, and you know, that unselfish moment of, you know, sacrificing for your team and everything. You know, everybody wants to glory and wants to be the guy who scores the touchdown, but you know, I give him a lot of credit, just a willingness to kind of go and be that team player of wherever we say. And then just having him a little banged up, you know, I know he wants to be out there. He wants to be out there around his guys and for his guys. But just being able to kind of save him once in a while and kind of rest him and have him be fresh for offense is nice too. You know, we got to find ways to kind of get him in there. He's definitely our big moment guy on defense too, and he works his tail off in practice to be in those spots. So just nice to have guys to rotate and that he has teammates around him that he can trust to go in and for him to get breaks too on defense as well.
You're talking with Drew Strand, head coach here on Tiger Football. The Tigers moved to 2-1 with a 16-0 shutout win last night over T Area. Now next on the road, and again, effective last night, 5 out of 7 games on the road here for the rest of the season, so we're going to be used to that bus. First of 2 road trips out West River as well as we go to Sturgis next week. They're currently ranked number 3. They don't play till tonight with Rapid City Stevens. I'll give you a chance to get a look at them, but bottom line is Sturgis... we've developed a nice little rivalry with them over the last 5 or 6 years. It's a close game every year. More years than not, something strange happens during the day. Hopefully we avoid that. But, the way last year's game went, where we win in overtime, they came 1 yard short of winning it on a 2-point conversion. You know they're going to be thinking about that once they're done with Stevens tonight.
Yep. I mean, you know, we kind of got to go in. We're just locked into the new challenge ahead of us. You know, this is a great group of guys, a great core. Senior leadership and even some of the juniors there taking over, and I think they understand the culture and the type of program they want to hold for themselves, and what we're trying to relay down as coaches. And you know, after we'll watch film from the game last night, and then we just kind of move into them. And it's definitely, you know, I kind of told them going in, everybody thinks it's week 1, 2, and 3 for us, but you know, it goes further down in our schedule. And with Double A kind of being wide open this season, it's kind of like next week. The next challenge right after you're done, just because the whole season, I think, is going to just continue to be, you know, a grind the whole way through. And as long as our guys can stay committed, I think we'll be right there.
You know, that's one thing, too. We'll wrap it up with this. When I talked to Coach Fry on Wednesday from a T area, and we were kind of discussing, you know, 11 double A, there's not one team he can point to and say they're the team to beat this year. On the other hand, there's not too many teams you can say, well, they don't have a chance at all. As you said, it's wide open, so that means – at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 7:30, whatever our next kickoff time is, you got to be ready.
Yep, and that's kind of the mentality that the kids have been holding the first 3 weeks, and hopefully we can just stay humble enough to continue that moving forward to each week that we go through. Our guys have put a lot of time in the first 3 weeks. They do a good job of holding themselves accountable, and we can continue to do that each week because, yeah, the Double A, I mean, it's not so much – I mean, I know it's wide open, but everybody's kind of got their things, and everybody can compete with everybody. So that's the hard part of, you know, being able to show up and not having those mistakes happen on Friday night at kickoff.
Drew Strand, head coach here on Tiger Football. Tigers in 16-0 shutout win over the T-Area Titans last night. Tigers moved to 2-1 on the season, back on the road. Long road trip out to Sturgis next Friday. Sturgis at 2-0 as they actually play tonight against Rapid City Stevens. Will be two top five teams, though, battling, I presume, next Friday night in Sturgis. Don't forget, coming up later this afternoon on Tiger, we have Huron Volleyball, top-ranked Harrisburg at the arena. Pre-match to begin right around 2:10 with a 2:30 start on Tiger. Coming up tonight, Twins Baseball here on KOKK. Game 2 of the series with the Arizona Diamondbacks, 5:30 pregame, 6:10
with the first pitch. Territorial Rodeo Update, brought to you by Premier Equipment of Huron, is next. Thanks for listening to Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.